On the 7th podcast of Christmas, the young'uns give to you more young'uns dreams. The young'uns forge an unlikely relationship with some American sportsmen. A young'uns gig is thwarted by a cat. And there's some hard-nosed folk news journalism. But first...
Have a little cold that we use here, and since you're not getting...
Well, sorry, I wasn't listening. What are you on? What are you telling me?
Yeah, you didn't say about the miracle. All right, just letting that speak for itself.
I could mumble something about it if you want.
I just thought...
The song culminates in Beegar's famous miracle, which involves snow. And...
It's not really.
Is that all right?
You
tell me to say something, and then you make a little joke about it.
You're going
to
do it. I wasn't making a joke.
Right, here you go.
Here we go.
Morale's a bit low. Don't worry, though. We are going to see our folk music counsellor. Nah,
Oh, it's funny. I mean, we don't fall out, but we constantly bicker, and as you probably guessed. And we did this one gig, and someone from the audience came over and said, "Are you sure everything's all right, lads? Are you not?"
Yeah, no, come on.
We don't have a fight here. So it's part of the act. That's what we're doing.
It's all the tickets you scripted. Ready, Michael?
I am.
Excellent. Is that something? Actually, you say yes at that point in the script, but never mind.
Bit of improvisation doesn't go yes.
Tell you what.
You're not meant to say anything at this point.
Can anybody guess why morale's low?
Right, let's move on.
I thought we were talking about your personal hygiene problems.
Only joking.
Right, one, two.
Here we go.
Oh, gosh.
We've already featured Sean Cooney's dreams on the podcasts of Christmas. Well, now we have myself expanding upon a dream that I had. And also another Sean Cooney dream.
Dreamer.
You know you are a dreamer, Mr. Cooney.
Talk to me about these odd dreams that you had. Maybe you've had more since we last spoke.
I dreamt on Saturday night that I was responsible for getting Paul Gascoigne back on the booze.
This is a non-folk related dream, but...
Oh, is that the one you picked? I can't remember the other dream.
It doesn't have to be folk related. You got Paul Gascoigne back on the booze. How did you do it then?
Well, yeah, because we were watching the Wimbledon final, me and Gazza, and Murray was winning. And he said, can I have a drink? I said, no, Gazza, you're off it now. You know, you're going to kill yourself if you drink anymore. And then he hit the winning shot.
Mm.
And we went to the pub, and Gazza was like, oh, yeah, well, go on, let me have some champagne. I said, oh, well, go on then, because he's won.
Yeah.
Well, you're only having one. And he had about three bottles and... caused a riot.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Did he, you know, but you should have said, look, Gazza, this isn't the way to behave, you know, let's go to the lake, do some fishing, have a bit of chicken, you know, that's what we need to do. I thought you had another dream about Mike Harnin being a bodyguard or something.
Yes.
There you go, that's a folk-related dream. Sorry, tell me about your folk-related dreams, Sean. Paul Gascoigne.
Yes, no, I had a dream that I was in a sandwich shop and the sandwich shop, for some reason, defied all precedents.
What?
And had a team of bodyguards, a team of bouncers who checked you as you went in.
Right.
Just to check you weren't carrying ketchup or anything. And who frisked you on the way out as well.
Ooh,
and Mike Harding was one of the...
The friskers?
Aforementioned friskers.
Were you frisked by Mike Harding? This has got...
I don't think he actually frisked me, because I think I was a good boy. I don't think I actually bought a sandwich. I just went in for the crack.
Right, okay, Mike Harding's crack. Interesting.
Thank you for going there, David.
I have dreams where I, you know, when I'm sort of, we're in gigs and that kind of thing, and then either you or Michael, Michael, will try and sabotage the gig. The dream I recently had was that, you know, Michael recently, well, actually a couple of years ago, decided to buy a fiddle. He was really into Tom McConville, wasn't he? And he said, oh, I love Tom McConville. I'm gonna buy a fiddle. I don't think it was to seduce him or anything like that. I think it was just because he wanted to play the fiddle on stage. He did. He bought the fiddle. But you know what Michael's like? He just, I've been in touch with Tom McConville, and he says, you know, I said, recommend me, Tom, the best fiddle player, the best fiddle. And Tom said, oh, you best start off with a beginner's one. I said, no, no, Tom, I'm going to take this seriously. I want the best, only the best for me. And so he got this fiddle, and 2 years later, we've never seen him play it once. I've never even seen him get out, but he's still got it. I think he brought it to a folk club once and maybe played a note or something like that. So anyway, I decided, in this dream, Michael got his fiddle out, but he was saying, oh, I'm going to get the fiddle out. And I thought it was a bit of a joke, and we were having a bit of a laugh about it. But it turned out that Michael was being serious. And it's one of those situations where it was funny originally. You know, Michael was playing the fiddle, it was very bad, but he just kept doing it. And I'm turning to you and say, Sean, we've got to stop him. And he's gone, David, just have a bit of, just have a sense of humour, for goodness sake. And I was getting more and more annoyed. And I don't think I did on this occasion, but on other occasions in my dreams, we've had gigs that have been going wrong. And after the gig, I have wrestled Michael. On like one occasion, I remember punching him. Another occasion, I remember wrestling him to the ground. And on one occasion, I remember I had a little bit of a wrestling match, and I punched him, and he started bleeding and stuff. And then I got him, I bent him over my knee and stroked his chin and said, now be a good boy. And that's
Were you both clothed?
Yeah, we were clothed. But it's just quite a strange thing. So I'm wondering, do you have that kind of thing? Do you have like dreams about gigs that go disastrously wrong?
Well, there's no need to dream about that. A couple of pipes for you, and then we're away.
Well, do you have the dreams? Do you have dreams like when we argue and stuff?
Yeah. No, I think I do probably. I mean,
Anyway, that's the end of that feature. Oh yes. Oh yes. I'm sorry, Supertramp. We have to move on, but we'll have more Sean Cooney, Michael Hughes, maybe even, and David Eagle dreams in a future Youngers podcast, I'm sure.
I think we'll probably have some more dreams on the podcasts of Christmas. But right now, it's time to hear about this rather unusual incident that happened during a Youngins gig at Hardraw.
My goodness, that was an interesting gig we've just done. We've just finished our gig in Hardraw. It was quite an odd start to the gig. Just as we were being introduced by the MC, a number of people, probably about five or six people from the audience, started to leave. And we were thinking, my goodness, we're not that bad, are we? You know, we're getting a bit worried why people were leaving just as we were about to come on stage. The MC announced that the reason for this, that why a few members of the audience were leaving, is because they'd been vomited on by a cat in the gig. Basically, someone must have obviously wanted to come and see the gig, but presumably couldn't find anyone to look after the cat. So instead, they decided to bring the cat with them. They took it to the gig, and the cat obviously was not feline very well. I'll do a little pun for you there. And basically, the cat vomited over some audience members, and it must have been quite a powerful vomit if five or six members of the audience got up to leave. So they left to clean up, basically. Now, we have called this week's Youngins podcast Cat Vomit. I was toying with calling it something else, another word for cat, and then putting vomit at the end. But I thought perhaps it kind of sounded like, I'm sure you can probably work out where I'm going with this, it kind of sounds like some sort of weird death metal group or something like that. this probably is a Norwegian metal group with that name. So I was going to call it that. I was going to call it another alternative to the word cat, vomit. But decided not to. I thought if someone... Well, you never know. I thought if someone logged on the Youngins website and saw those two words together, I thought that maybe it would not ingratiate people. But, you know, I might be wrong. If it does ingratiate people, it would probably ingratiate the wrong type of person. Oh, this looks like my kind of podcast. Oh, pussy vomit. I might as well say it. Pussy vomit is what I was going to call this week's Youngins podcast. But I decided not to.
Public health warning. This song has been known in the past that we're going to start with to cause nausea among cats. That should be a problem.
Now, we don't want to get a reputation for being all light and airy-fairy and just purely frivolous when it comes to doing podcasts. We also realise that we have, as well as entertaining, I suppose, we also have a duty to inform as well. And of recent on the Youngins podcast, that's something that we have done very well. And we're going to play you now the first in a series of news reports exclusive to the Young'uns podcast. This is Fork in Focus, where we bring you the stories from the folk world that really matter, that the other folk shows aren't covering, that you don't get in the folk magazines, and you don't get on BBC Radio 2 in the Mike Harding podcast and that kind of thing. So this is Folk in Focus, bringing you the folk news stories that really matter.
Hello and welcome to the first Folk in Focus. Today's headlines: Barbara Dixon in domestic disarray, the sleeping habits of Sam Sweeney, and it's shop horror for Kit Bailey. We start with the news about Barbara Dixon, who has announced on Twitter that she's been having domestic issues of recent. I need some papers to shuffle.
Make it sound more professional. Have I actually got any paper? An eco-friendly podcast.
But I probably have. Hang on. I probably have a sound of papers on the... There we go. Quite a lot of papers there. Right, OK. I'll start that again. Barbara Dixon in domestic disarray. Let's head live to our Folk in Focus domestic correspondent, John Dunning. 65-year-old Scottish folk singer, songwriter and actress Barbara Dixon, OBE, perhaps best remembered for her songs January, February and I Know Him So Well, and for her appearances on the Two Ronnies television show, posted a message on Twitter at 3:30 last Tuesday afternoon. The tweet, her 1,465th since he joined the social networking service in June 2009, paints a bleak picture, far removed from the concept of domestic bliss. Everything's exploding in my house, she wrote. Plumbing mainly, but electrics too. However, despite this situation of domestic disarray, Barbara appears to still be in relatively high spirits. In her tweet, she jokes, is Saturn in the retrograde cupboard right now? Mine is. Miss Dixon's followers on Twitter have rallied to her support, offering good-humoured comment and advice. Barbara Dixon Twitter follower Tim Harris says the lyrics to a new song should be, while a follower under the pseudonym ARDV8 offers, don't touch anything metal until you've had it checked out. Water and electricity don't mix. Be safe. The tweet has already caught the attention of former BBC Radio 2 folk show presenter Mike Harding, who retweeted the tweet just 30 minutes after Barbara's original posting. John Dunning, Folk in Focus domestic correspondent. Back to you in the studio, David. Thank you very much indeed, John. Kit Bailey is having to do her own shopping at the moment due to her husband Martin Simpson being away on tour. She says that she's shocked by how expensive everything is. Well, I hope you're selling plenty of CDs while you're on tour, Martin, to pay for all the food your wife's buying. In other news, Sam Sweeney from Bellowhead, Kerfuffle, Sam Sweeney and Hannah James, and Sam Sweeney fame is going to bed rather late of recent, it appears. He announced on Twitter that he didn't retire until 2 o'clock of the morning of Tuesday, the 9th of July. And apparently, this is not an irregular occurrence. We will, of course, keep you up to date with any Sam Sweeney sleeping-related news that comes our way. If you happen to be a friend of Sam Sweeney, or perhaps you're at a festival with him, keep an eye out and let us know if you observe him going to bed. Let us know what time he does that. Or perhaps you're a bedtime partner of Sam's. Get in touch. We'll make it worth your while. We want more than just the time, though. It's back to our story about Barbara Dixon. When last we heard, she was in a state of domestic upheaval, problems with plumbing and electricity. One of our researchers has just informed us that they've been speaking to Barbara on the phone and everything is now absolutely fine and fully resolved. No electrical or plumbing problems in Barbara's house. Oh, apparently we have Barbara on the line right now, even better. Barbara Dixon on the phone. Barbara, how does it feel now that everything is fully resolved and absolutely fine? That must be a great relief to you, Barbara. Barbara? 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 Not sure what's happened there. We seem to have lost her, but I think it's just probably a little problem with the phone line or something. It did sound like a bit like bad reception, didn't it? But as I say, good news for Barbara Dixon. Everything, according to one of our researchers who was speaking to her earlier, everything with Barbara and her domestic situation is now absolutely fine and fully resolved. Great news! And with that very positive news, we will leave you. That's all for this week's Folk in Focus. We'll be back next week. But remember, if you've got a story about someone in the folk world, then you can get in touch with us by locating one of our yoghurt pots, which are hanging from lampposts and trees in various locations around the United Kingdom. Simply shout down one of those. Make sure, of course, that you do pull the string nice and tight. And someone from the Folk in Focus reporting desk will be with you shortly to hear your story. That's the latest from Folk in Focus. Remember that you can keep up to date with all the latest folk stories as they happen via our 24-hour rolling news service. But that's the latest from Folk in Focus. Now it's back to the Yeoman's Podcast. Ah, shuffle me papers one more time. Ah, there we go. Yes! I know normally the Youngins Podcast is quite a flippant item, but I did feel as if we do need to bring you these serious stories from time to time. The Youngins Podcast is capable of being serious now and again, you know.
More Folk in Focus to come in future podcasts of Christmas, but we're going to conclude the seventh podcast of Christmas with a piece of music. And a different kind of piece of music. It's kind of akin, I suppose, to our football song that we played a couple of podcasts ago, where we did our generic, cheaply and cynically produced football anthem. Only this is slightly different. This is not cynically and cheaply produced. This has been produced with a lot of love and care, with the aim of recruiting people to an American sport. I'll quickly explain. Basically, most people who follow the Young'uns will be aware that we sing Sidney Carter's song, Sing John Ball. John Ball being the leader of the Peasants' Revolt of 1381. John Ball, to a group of Americans, is a sport. The founder of the sport, John Ball, was browsing YouTube and he typed in John Ball on YouTube, expecting just to see clips of that him and his mates had put up about the sport John Ball. You know, clips of them playing the game. They've got national tournaments and stuff. So clips of that. And they did see that. But nearer the top was not a clip of someone people playing John Ball. It was actually the Young'uns singing the song. So he clicked on it and he thought, my goodness, I can't believe it. There's a song called John Ball. And then he did some research. He found out who John Ball was. And this kind of led him to get in contact with us. And he said, what we do now, lads, is every single time we play a game of John Ball, this is our anthem. Sometimes we play it various places around America. When they play the sport John Ball, they'll play it through speakers before the match. Or sometimes, you know, they'll sing it. It's kind of a growing sport, really. It's not like a massive sport or anything like that. But it's now started to be played between different universities. You can find out more about John Ball if you go to playjohnball.com. I believe that's the website. But on the podcast, we had a little bit of a chat with him. He told us about what John Ball is and how he started playing it and you know why he founded it and all that kind of thing. And then, the week after, he sent us some clips of people playing John Ball and talking to various people who play the game and doing interviews. And it was brilliant. He sent us this whole like sort of commentary and we interspersed the commentary throughout the podcast of people playing John Ball. So we decided to join force with the John Ball people. And we thought maybe the Young'uns could lend a hand in creating a John Ball recruitment song. And so we're going to cross now to myself having a little bit of a chat to the creator of the sport, John Ball. I'm going to talk him through my idea for this recruitment song, and then you're going to hear the John Ball recruitment song. And with that, we will conclude the seventh podcast of Christmas. We'll be back with the eighth podcast of Christmas. Goodbye.
I'll take you through my concept, I suppose, for it. Well, I wanted to take people through a kind of game, almost, John, as if they were playing John Ball, but like a journey through the game of John Ball musically. And I thought, but as well as that, I wanted to put some of your sort of commentaries and that kind of thing. What I thought I would do is, I thought I would sample some of the grunts and the sort of the sound of the ball. So I did that, but I've got to say, I almost feel like I'm hallucinating because I've got these, like, can you imagine? This was like, I started this at like 10 o'clock at night, and I eventually got bored of the, you know, I just thought, I can't listen to this anymore, because I just listened to 4 hours of you grunting in my ear, which is more than, I don't know if anyone's had 4 hours of you grunting in their ear before, John. I'm not sure.
I was going to say, that's quite a special experience you've, a unique experience you've had.
There was quite a lot of grunting and obviously a lot of banging as well, so, from the but that's the way we like it, ladies. But yeah, a lot of that kind of going on, and I tried to get to sleep, and all I could hear in my head was the sound of you going, like this going. It was very strange. The first sound you're going to hear, actually, is the sound of the ball. I've kind of sampled the sound of the ball, and it's kind of quite military almost. It's sort of a call to arms, I think, for people in John Ball. And the final thing I'll tell you about it is that I discovered that you were a piano instructor, so I thought we've got to have a little bit of a piano in there, John. So
yes.
There's a little bit of piano, and it's playing the John Ball theme tune. As well, so playing the John Ball song. So we'll see what you think. I tried to do it in 3.5 minutes. It's a 3.5 minute sort of pop song, recruitment song. Enough of the talking, John. So I'll let you hear it. This is it, the John Ball recruitment song. 3, 2, 1.
John Ball. John Ball. John Ball.
John Ball.
John Ball.
John Ball.
John Ball.
John Ball.
John Ball.
We have balls flying through the air. We have people swinging bats everywhere.
I have John Ball. I have John Ball.
It's a crazy
through the air. We have people swinging bats everywhere, hitting the ball into the other players' heads is highly encouraged.
All you really need is a couple of balls, a couple of bats, and some really good friends.
There's about 20 people playing, but by the end, there can only be one.
Beautiful hit, sir. Flew a large rubber green ball right into his opponent's face. It was just majestic. John Ball.
John Ball.
Casey on Luke. Instant hit. Casey goes to the ground. Luke hits him right in the chest. And a double hit. Luke hits the next player. And a triple hit. Luke has now gone up 3 people in a row. 4 people in a row. He's on fire. Scoops it behind his head. Hits his opponent right in the face. And another hit. Luke has now gotten out 7 people in a row. It's incredible. The game is over. John Ball. Jump, 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 John Ball. And that's it. That's it.
And that's it.
That's it. David, I've never been more entertained in my life.